This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everybody, again. I'd like to just direct your attention to the altar. Families have given flowers in honor of their loved ones. The Millers, Jack Hatcher in memory of Gordon and Vera Harris. The Jamesons, in memory of Daniel Jameson. Before I start, I just want to thank you wholeheartedly for welcoming me into your family and your friendship. Odd time for me to come, huh? During the pandemic. I do want to let you know that I know all of your hairdos and your glass shapes, glasses, your eye color, how you dress, what coats you're wearing. I tried to get to know you as well as I could, but I could only see half of your face. But what I do know is that your love was pouring out of you all the time, your generosity. It's just unparalleled. Your voices were filled with just concern and love and appreciation, and I just am overwhelmed by all of you. I really will not be happy to be leaving you. I wish I could stay forever. I am happy for the semester to be over, however. Don't tell my teachers. But you've just been unbelievably generous to me, and your hearts have come through, and the smiles have come through your eyes every single day. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I learned all that I could learn from you being here and hearing your responses. I do appreciate people who would say things about how they thought I was doing, or if I did something well, or if I needed to change something. That was why I was here, to do my ministry training so that one day I can be ordained and preach the gospel myself. So because of all of you, I'm one step closer. So thank you. And so I wanted to think of what I want to say to you as I would speak to you one more time. And what I think I want to say is that the basic things that we are to do as people of Christ, Christian people, people loving God, is to serve him. He created man and then woman to praise him, to be a family for him and to each other. And he left us a book, a big book, to tell us all the things that he wants us to know. And it's hard to learn that book. It's hard to read that book. But there are some things in it that you probably don't run into all the time. And so those are things that I'm going to bring up to you today. So we're going to just talk about praising the Lord, serving the Lord, obeying the Lord. And we're going to look at it through someone that he thought was a good example. The things that are in the Bible are not by accident. They're in there to teach us, right? And so sometimes we look in there and like, what is this in here for? Or what am I supposed to do with that? Well, we're going to look at a few of those things. So in between, as I did before, and a number of people have asked me, so I said I would, I'm going to sing in between. So this is not that strong message, you know, that Pastor Joe or Pastor Jen or Pastor Sherry gives. We're just going to look at the Word of God together, and then we're going to sing and praise God. And that's kind of what I want to leave with you, because I think that's what we need to do in our daily lives. Sunday is Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday, we don't leave God out. At home, we can sing in the car. I sing all the time in the car. And just reading parts of the Word. It doesn't have to be serious parts, like really, really hard serious, which we'll see. Just read some of the Word, any part. And that's what I want to leave with you. And so for the prayer, I'm going to sing. Holy Spirit, come with power, breathe into our aching night. We expect you this glad hour for your strength and for your light. We are fearful, we are ailing, we are weak and selfish too. Break upon your congregation, give us vigor, life anew. Holy Spirit, bring your message, burn and breathe each word anew. Deep into our tired living, till we strive your work to do. Teach us love and trusting kindness, lend our hands to those who hurt. Breathe upon your congregation and inspire us with your word. So we're going to talk about the readings of Ecclesiastes. Probably not on your reading list, top 10. It wasn't on mine. Who wrote that? Well, it was King David's son, Solomon. And what you should know about Solomon is that God asked him, "What can I give you? You can have whatever you want." Think about that. Wouldn't you love for God to say that to you? Hey, you can have whatever you want. Name it. Well, Solomon had that rare honor, and what he answered was, God, give me wisdom. Actually, God really liked that answer, which is why I suppose he asked him, you can have whatever you want. What do you want? Because I don't think he'd ask everybody, because they may say the wrong thing. But God knew Solomon's heart, and he knew he could trust him and make that and say that to him, and that he would say something honorable. And he did. So God granted him the greatest wisdom of any other human being. And as a result, he wrote Ecclesiastes. And so he wrote that, and they assume probably around 935 BC. And it was late in Solomon's life, which is significant. Because if you go back and read Solomon's life, he didn't do that great all the way through. He started off real good, but then it got kind of rugged after a while. So for him to have written this in his later life is something that you should note. And it says that Solomon was looking back on his life as he was penning this, and much of it was spent apart from God. One of the key verses in all of this book is, that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. And that's in the 12th chapter, 13th verse. So Solomon was searching for satisfaction, almost as though he was conducting an experiment. Through this process, he discovered that life without God is a long and fruitless endeavor. Being with God gives your life meaning and fulfillment. True happiness is not in our power to attain, because we always want more than we can have. There are circumstances beyond our control that can snatch away our possessions and anything that we may attain. So we always have to have God as our anchor. Solomon shows how empty it is to pursue the pleasures of this life. What we need to do is seek to have a relationship with the eternal God. The search for pleasure and wealth and success leads to ultimate disappointment. Nothing in the world can fill that emptiness. Nothing in the world can satisfy the longings of our restless hearts except God. And God tried to Solomon tried to shake people's confidence in their own efforts, in their abilities, and their human wisdom. And he tried to direct them to faith in God, which is the only sound basis for our living. Without God, there is no lasting reward or benefit, even in hard work. The certainty of our death makes all human achievements futile. God has a plan for each one of us that goes beyond life and death. The reality of aging and dying reminds each of us of the end to come and when God will judge each person's life. Human wisdom does not contain all the answers. Knowledge and education have their limits. To understand life and make the right choices, we need the wisdom that can be found only in God's Word, in the Bible. So I'm going to take a few parts of this Ecclesiastes book and just share them with you in the hopes that this will fuel you to want to just pick up the book. Because every time you pick it up, you don't have to go into Matthew or Revelations or something heavy. You could just go in and read a few Proverbs or some Psalms. It doesn't have to be a deep thing all the time. And I think that's the benefit of having a daily devotion. You always get the devotions here in little booklets. So if you haven't seen those, take those home, because those just give you a little taste and hopefully make you want to read more of the Bible. In fact, that's what it does for me. And they often have stories and things that are attached to these smaller books that people don't read all the time. And so, in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a very popular part of scripture that I'm going to read. However, I'm going to read from the Message, which is something that people don't use all the time, just to give you a lighter and fresh hearing of the word. And so if these, sometimes this makes people a little antsy, they don't like it so much. Well, hopefully the cure will be you go home and open your King James and read it again. And then you'll feel better after that. Okay? All right, so there's a right time for everything. There's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love and another to abstain, a right time to embrace and another to part, a right time to search and another to count your losses, a right time to hold on and another to let go, a right time to rip out and another to mend, a right time to shut up and another time to speak up, a right time to love and another to hate, a right time to rage war and another to make peace. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. And this is Solomon speaking to remind you. He says that's busy work, mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time. But he's left us in the dark, so we can never know what God is up to, whether he is coming or going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than to go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That is, eat and drink and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. Now, before you get upset, that's the Message, okay? I just want to remind you, the word is still the word, but it's just an interesting way to look at it from this vantage point to give you a fresh look. Holy, holy, holy. persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Don't take anything for granted. A good reputation is better than a fat bank account. Your death date tells more than your birth date. You learn more at a funeral than at a feast. After all, that's where we all end up. We might as well discover something from it. Crying is better than laughing. It blotches the face, but it scours the heart. Sages invest themselves in hurting and grieving. Fools waste their lives in fun and games. You'll get more from a rebuke of a sage than from a song and a dance of a fool. The giggles of fools are like the crackling of twigs under the cooking pot. It's like smoke. Brutality stupefies even the wise and destroys the strongest of heart. Endings are better than beginnings. Sticking to the is better than standing out. Don't be quick to fly off the handle. Is that any of you? Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. Don't always be asking, where are the good old days? Wise folks don't ask questions like that. Wisdom is better when it's paired with money, especially if you get both while you're still living. Double protection, wisdom and wealth. Plus the bonus, wisdom energizes its owner. Take a good look at God's work, who could simplify and reduce creation's curves and angles to a plain, straight line. On a good day, enjoy yourself. On a bad day, examine your conscience. God arranges for both kinds of days so that we won't take anything for granted. Now I remind you, these are the words of a man who asked God to grant him wisdom. Wisdom beyond any other human. And this is what he came up with. I don't know how you feel about that, but it amuses me. No one can control the wind, he says. Do what your king commands. You have a sacred oath of obedience. Don't worryingly second guess yourself and your orders, or try to back out when the task is unpleasant. You are serving God's pleasure, not yours. The king has the last word. Who dares to say to him, "What are you doing?" Carrying out orders won't hurt you a bit. The wise person obeys promptly and accurately. Yes, there's a time and a way for everything, even though, unfortunately, we miss it for the most part. I know I do. It's true that no one knows what's going to happen or when. Who is around to tell us? No one can control the wind or lock it in a box. Let me say that again. No one can control the wind or lock it in a box. No one has any say-so regarding the day of death. No one can stop a battle in its tracks. No one who does evil can be saved by evil. All this, Solomon said, he observed as he tried his best to understand all that was going on in the world. As long as men and women have power to hurt each other, this is the way that it is. Solomon continues. He says, "When I determined to load up on wisdom and examine everything taking place on the earth, I realized that if you keep your eyes open day and night without blinking, you'll still never figure out the meaning of what God is doing on this earth. Search as hard as you like, you're not going to make sense of it. No matter how smart you are, you simply won't get to the bottom of it." Does that distress you? It shouldn't. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. a little more advice from Solomon. Don't badmouth your leaders, not even under your breath. Don't abuse your betters, even in the privacy of your home. Loose talk has a way of getting picked up and spread all around. Little birds drop the crumbs of your gossip far and wide. Instead, be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods, spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. When the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, there it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Just as you'll never understand the mystery of life forming in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. Go to work in the morning and stick to it until the evening without watching the clock. You never know from moment to moment how your work will turn out in the end. Lastly, the words of the wise prod us to live well. They're like nails hammered home, holding life together. They are given by God, the one shepherd. But regarding anything beyond this, dear friend, please go easy. There is no end to publishing of books and constant study wearing you out so that you're no good for anything else. This, the last and final word, fear the Lord your God. Do what he tells you. Serve, share, love, forgive, praise. And that's it. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do out into the open, and he'll judge it according to its hidden intent, whether it's good or evil. And everything in the Bible comes to this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I fell.